Everybody jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip hop, the hibbit of a hip, hip hop, you don't stop.
Rap, 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 rap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It is our feature that we do at the end of the week on a Friday from 8:30 to 9. I try to find some people that I think are good on the radio, informed, entertaining, decent, and interesting is basically my criteria. And I have two of them here today who have never done this together, but we've had them both on previously. I have Lee Hansen, who was a short time as a school board member. She's a longtime educator. She was a wing commander in the Navy, a retired captain. Lee, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning
Thank
News.
Thank you so much.
And the other person that I have with her is somebody that, again, we've had him on many, many times before, but never together. Butch Hansen. Are you guys related?
Yeah.
Yeah, yep, yep, yep.
Butch was also a retired captain for the Navy. He was a sub commander and a sub forces commander, and he's been the Veterans Memorial Park Foundation president and former past president, and a lot of other things. Working on the new monument, the Chappie James Memorial. It's going to be great. Butch, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you.
So let's just start with it. Let's get some of the what are you doings out of the way. You just yesterday were out washing the F4 Phantom.
We were. We can't wait to display the Phantom. It's going to be in the Chappie James Memorial. Getting ready for the homecoming air show over there. And we had a bunch of, we had several second lieutenant Air Force students out there helping us. And
nice.
It was a great time.
Olive drab or camouflage? What's the paint scheme?
It's a Vietnam camouflage paint scheme. Yeah.
Okay, I thought that's what it was, but I couldn't remember for sure.
That's what the general flew in Vietnam.
And are we still trying to get that up and on and installed by next year, his birthday?
Well, yeah, we're working at it. We're working at it. It's okay. We're working very closely. We're very optimistic with all the local leaders in the city and the county to get all the
funding,
increase
everything right now. Yeah. Who's gonna? Yep, no, all of that. And by the way, I noticed your note to Candy earlier when Candy has left the show, but we love her. She's gonna be back to fill in and all that. Just some stuff to deal with at home on a regular basis in the morning. And you had said such a nice note that you appreciated how she routinely called 3 Mile Bridge the Chappie James Memorial Bridge as well.
Yeah, and we're trying to convert you too.
But I know. I'm not opposed. I just feel like it's not my battle to fight. If the community around me changes, and I know what you're thinking is, well, Andrew, you can lead that change. Alan Gray is always on me for the same thing. You know, I understand. Lee, what are you involved in these
well,
days?
Well, I tell you what, I'm a member of Impact 100.
Oh, yeah?
And this Sunday is our
small organization, does a little bit of charitable work.
Right. $1 Million Sunday. And we're really excited about being able to give back to the community. So
what phase is coming up on Sunday? Is it the final announcement?
It is the final.
Okay.
It is the annual meeting.
Oh, that's great.
And the
so Chappie many
James Memorial is a finalist.
Is one of the finalists. Okay, so you're down to 15. You're going to pull to 10 or 11 this year?
Correct, 11.
Very good. Very good. Always wonderful stuff. Well,
right.
Part of the... So I had two things in mind having you guys in.
Okay.
One is I got this weird hairbrand idea like it might be kind of cool to have a married couple who have a healthy marriage as commentators.
And so
since,
far, right?
And since, right, you're right, until this show, I mean, what can I do? But, you know, also as both retired captains who don't rank each other, you know, in retirement. And since we have such a high-profile military subject involving the Navy in the news this week, I thought, what better time to have you guys on to talk about this? So that's where I want to start is the events in Israel, the attack by Hamas, the attack, it's much lesser so, but still some involvement by Hezbollah. The question of Iranian involvement. And, of course, we now have not one but two carrier strike groups in the region. The brand new Ford on its first deployment. And the Eisenhower, I think, is the other one. Mm-hmm. And just yesterday or the day before, it was announced that the command and control ship, Mount Whitney, had been moved in with a 3-star, which I'd never heard of a command and control ship, so that alone was new to me. But I wanted to get your guys' perspective on this. Feel free to say anything you want. I don't even know what question to ask. I just want to hear what you have to say. Let's start with you, Lee.
Well, I'll start on a more personal note, and that is that we were in Israel just this past January.
Oh, wow.
And so we've seen these different locations, and we have a really good idea, although I really loved your geography lesson.
Oh, the hand?
With the hand.
Yeah.
but I think there are a lot of people who don't understand the little small stretch that is Gaza, and the fact that, I mean, they are firing indiscriminately at whatever, Hamas. Mm-hmm. And I think when you look at the fact that instead of governing, their reason for living is killing other people. And so I'm not surprised that people are impoverished. I'm not surprised that people don't have a good life there.
Right.
So that would be the first thing I would say. And then I'll turn it over to Butch to talk about some of the naval forces.
Well, it's almost like going back to the Cold War days, back when I was driving submarines. We routinely had 4 or 5 submarines in the Mediterranean. We routinely had 2 carrier strike groups there. The Middle East, we would vector one of them over to the Gulf instead of the Med, so you had different perspective. But, you know, the 2 air wings that are on those carriers and all the support ships and whatever other submarines might be there, it's a formidable force with land strike capability and as well as intelligence capability that we can provide, the electronic warfare capability, et cetera, that we can provide the our allies, and the Israelis in this case. It's unfortunate. I say it's so disappointing to me, and having recently been to Israel and learning so much, not just about the Israel and the Jewish faith and the history, but also Christianity and also the Islamic faith there.
Yeah.
And looking at, and there walking the ground and seeing the geography, and I came back from that trip saying, why would Israel let Gaza exist like this, the way it is, this launching pad? So that's what you saw down there. And then up from the Golan Heights, where you can see Lebanon, you can see Syria, you relive the previous wars that are there.
Right.
And say, well, of course Israel will never give back the Golan Heights. And
it's strategically, it's inconceivable that they would.
Correct.
Right. And I don't think they never will. And but Gaza is such an interesting thing, you know, from the 67 war when Israel, you know, took over the whole Sinai Peninsula, and then in the peace agreement, they gave it back to Israel, but, I mean, to Egypt.
Back to Egypt,
but
right.
Egypt didn't want Gaza.
You're right.
Why would that be? No, that's, you know, you bought it, you broke it, you can
you
have
got it.
And so Israel's been wrestling with that, and but as Lee said, you've got a group there that have revealed themselves for exactly what they believe in and what they will do, and I don't think anybody can support that.
And what you've seen in the West Bank over the years, a distant, not expert opinion on this, is that the West Bank has kind of made the decision that, oh, this isn't too bad. You know, they had a lot of issues. They built the wall, and that seems to have really solved a lot. And you have people, a government there that's really willing to govern, interested in governing and creating some level of prosperity.
Right.
You have not seen that in Gaza.
Correct.
You haven't seen
and
that same thing.
And if you think about it, they are, if you go to Israel and you see the coastline, and it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah,
Tel
amazing.
Aviv, Jaffa, it's beautiful. That same coastline exists down at Gaza. But they're not using it for that. I mean, they're just using it for a launching pad for incursions into Israel. It's sad.
You know, you're talking about Lebanon in the north, and we saw the embassy protests earlier this weekend. I think a lessons learned reaction from the American forces and the embassy saying, no, we're not going to just endure this. We've seen what happens in the past. But, you know, coming up Monday is the 40th anniversary of the Marine Barracks bombing.
Right.
And we had back in April, you know, we had the embassy bombing anniversary, and you know, this is, Americans are sometimes pretty short-memoried, you know, I mean, to say the least. And folks in other parts of the world are not so short-memoried. And what we particularly know is about people in the Middle East is, you know, 400 years ago is today, you know.
Yes.
And so, you know, 40 years ago, we've been talking about these like heightened alerts and, you know, kind of general concern. I frankly, I think that they are well aware that, to them anyway, the 40th anniversary is a big day, and I'm more concerned about what might be coming on Monday than I had been about anything that we've seen so far.
You're exactly right. And, you know, Americans and even this administration, you mentioned special forces before and the things they do. We need to be more careful as the father of a former special forces
Well, let's talk about
officer.
That a little bit. I saw this yesterday, and there was one. So if you don't know the story, the White House went, of course, President Biden went to Israel and met there with some special operators, we think from Delta, and posted a great picture on Instagram of him meeting and greeting the guys in their gear, to which all of us thought, oh, my God, what did you just do? These folks go out of their way to keep their identity secret for all the obvious reasons.
And I'm even surprised there were pictures taken.
Right.
Honestly.
Same. Because I look like when I go to the Blue Angels, all right, you know, the hangar, okay, mm-hmm. I always ask, is it okay to take a picture? And I get told not today or of this and not this because there are things you don't take pictures of. Mm-hmm. And when I take pictures that involve anything military or personnel, I always double check. I'm like, hey, is this okay? You know, I got a picture of the front gate. Is that okay to post? Yeah, that one's fine. No, not that one. Because operational security and the mission matter before everything else. How on earth does this happen that they put this out without obscuring, pixelation,
yeah.
and they put the picture at all?
I don't think that they are aware enough, the current administration, that they are aware enough of the importance of security. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the interviews that the president has done clearly show, and he says, well, I don't want to get into anything classified, but blah, 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 blah,
right,
blah.
Right, like, but here's what I know.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
And this goes back a ways. You know,
wasn't Biden the one who outed SEALs as having killed Osama bin Laden?
Yes.
I believe that was him
and
also.
And that's where I was going.
Okay.
I mean, I don't even think, I think we did damage to SEAL Team 6 and all of that. From all that publicity, we shouldn't have even acknowledged the
Correct.
SEALs did that, or we even did
Agreed.
That. I don't think. I mean, I come from a community. We were always chastised or for being called the silent service. It's because we never talked about what we did.
I'll be honest. When you were a few minutes ago, you were talking about, you know, a number of subs back in the day in the Med. There was a part of me that's like, can he say that?
Well,
you know,
I mean, but that was
30 years
ago, right?
Right. But still, because operational security around everything in that vicinity is so careful, right?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we need to be more careful about that. And these people are putting their lives on the line every day, and we don't know where they are. We shouldn't know where they are, but they're doing important things for the country, and it starts at the top, and it needs to be treated that way.
And you said your son used to be in
Yes, he was a Green Beret major,
and not exactly the kind of thing that a family of a special forces operator would be eager to see on Instagram or Twitter or around the world.
Right. I mean, he's still got plenty of friends. He's not there now. They basically burned him out. He did it for 10 years. He's a Russian speaker.
Wow.
So he was busy.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
He doesn't talk to me about things.
I understand. So, just I don't know. I watched recently. I haven't yet covered it on the air, but I probably maybe will next week. Back in March, and then they re-aired it just maybe a couple of weeks ago. 60 Minutes did a very long interview series with Sixth Fleet Commander, I forget who Fifth Fleet, but with Carrier Group Nimitz, and talking about military readiness in China. And another sort of long thing that I'd investigated that I did just never managed to make the time to cut up and use on the radio, but I watched the naval budget hearing in the House this last year. You know, each service has their own day, and I watched that whole day. And I got to tell you, it concerns me because China's passed us in total ship number. Now, maybe they're making, you know, a lot of not great ships, but, you know, as the commander in the interview said, sometimes number has a character all its own. And the number of ships that they are on track to build and their investment in shipbuilding capability and our failure to invest in shipbuilding capability, our days behind, our days out of service, our maintenance backlog, just like across the board.
And our emphasis in the last few years on things like who your pronoun, what you should be called, how many. It's so frustrating for those of us who served to see that, you know, they're putting aside maintenance, they're putting aside training, so that all these other things can be done. It's ridiculous, and no one's got their eye on the ball that I see. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are people out there that do, but it's very frustrating to see a lack of true focus on the mission.
And what I hear a lot from people is the byproduct of that is it cascades the wrong direction, because the people who were in 10 years ago don't want to be in anymore.
Right.
The people we would want to have in, because they'd be the perfect people to continue the legacy of greatness and strength that was the American military's hallmark, don't want to join under these circumstances.
Correct.
So you're losing out on both ends. And then the question is, well, who really is joining, and what kind of, you know, and I appreciate everybody who volunteers to be in the military, but this, the effect of the kind of the woke cultural stuff is, to my mind, devastating us, because, like you said, those are, nobody wants to be a part of that. And who's doing the stuff that needs to be done,
right,
when they're focusing on that?
Well, and that's right. And the military training and methodology is tried and true. And it's about a unit. It's about teamwork. It's about a crew. You know, everybody on the submarine knows how that, because you don't know where you're going to be on the submarine when the casualty happens, and everybody, you need to be able to trust whoever's there to do the right thing.
Yeah.
You can't emphasize individuality and get the same product. I will say that, you know, numbers are one thing, and, you know, quantity is a quality all itself, is what we used to say. But, you know, back in the Cold War, the Soviets had three times as many submarines as we did.
Mm.
What was the difference? The difference was our readiness level, our maintenance level, our capacity to keep our ships operating and in good shape.
And training.
And our training. and we won. We drove them down. I'm concerned, like you, we're losing that edge. Our maintenance capability, our shipbuilding capability. You know, we decided to try to right-size our ships so sailors can't do the maintenance that's required. We have to call in a contractor when something breaks half the time. That isn't going to bode well in the long run. So we need to spend the money to properly train, man, and equip our ships.
And meanwhile, not to like pile despair on despair, but meanwhile, we're building, you know, half of our LCSs have hull issues. The other half have, you know, what, engine or transmission issues.
Yeah, I think those are going to be gone.
The whole thing is being discontinued.
Yeah.
We built three Zumwalt class. That was a what in the world? You know, you look at some of the issues plaguing the F-35, not the Navy. Well, I mean, the Navy uses their just, you know, it's hard to keep a, like, stiff upper lip when you see a lot of this stuff happening.
Unfortunately, I've got more background on those particular failed programs than we can talk about over a beer sometime. But, those programs are political messes.
And I mean,
we've wasted billions of dollars.
And we've got the Ford deployed, but I mean, my God, the cost of putting that machine in the water, you know, it's amazing.
Right. So. And well, we need to right the ship.
And since we're in pylon territory, meanwhile, we don't have a budget, and the lack of a budget is costing the Navy, you know, $20 billion a year, and you can't plan effectively. And
we don't have a speaker.
Right?
And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, I agree.
So we need to get back to the processes.
Yeah.
We need to get back to the processes that work and make our government work. And we've just sort of gone off the rails, it feels like.
We do have a kind of a good note.
Excellent.
We can end on that. It's the 50th anniversary of women in naval aviation,
it sure is. And we started the celebration in March out at El Centro with the first Blue Angel Air Show of the season. And we're going to
wrap it up. And the first female jet pilot for the
Correct.
Blues.
Correct. And we're going to wrap it up in a couple of weeks at the Blue Angel Air Show here, homecoming.
That's fantastic. And
yeah,
just in case people don't know, you were the first female wing commander in the Navy.
Correct.
Right? And one of the first round of female pilots back in the day.
I was actually not. I was sort of like 2.0.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right. Early, I'll say that. Not first, but early.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, Butch and Lee Hansen, again, a pleasure to have you all. You're both some of my favorite people. And thank you for the information. I wish you weren't able to confirm all of my my nightmares and fears, but, you know, there it is. Have a great weekend. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Right. Our pleasure.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.